Today is February 22nd, 2017, and this is episode number 399 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I've got to get to the post office today.
Mailman extraordinaire.
That's my title. That's the worst title. I'm phoning this one in, dude. Like, no thought whatsoever.
You're mailing appalling stuff in the morning.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast. By the way, you can assume that this is a preview of what to expect from the quality of this entire episode.
That's not foreshadowing. That's a warning.
That's a warning. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Should I just go ahead and do the gag where I play the outro bumper and we end the show and just save everyone?
Okay. No. Let's do the show.
All right. Do you want me to keep modifying Broadway musicals to?
No. Let's talk about Apple Park. Actually, you know, I should mention that Blue Apron is sponsoring us today.
Yet again. They're pretty awesome.
They have been fantastic to us. We're going to talk about them a little bit later. But first, let's talk about Apple Park.
Yeah. So this morning, Apple announced that the Spaceship Campus, Campus 2, whatever you want to call it, is going to be opening for their employees in April. And it's called Apple Park. And I like the name. I think it sounds nice. And the theater in Apple Park, the 1,000-seat theater that they built, is called Steve Jobs Theater.
That's solid. Well, Steve Jobs would probably hate it.
Of course he would hate it.
Would have hated it. The late Steve Jobs probably would have hated it.
I agree. But if he was not the late Steve Jobs, the theater would have a different name anyhow.
That is true. And it turns out that...
I think if he was around, it would have been fun to call it Lisa Hall. Didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I didn't see that one coming. That's interesting. That's interesting. There's a lot to talk about on this. One thing being, I know Dave was cranky. Dave Hamilton was cranky this morning about the fact that the press release that Apple put out for this announcing this was pretty gushy about Steve.
Yeah, I think Steve would have been uncomfortable with that as well. But if you were alive to have read the press release, of course you'd be uncomfortable because everyone's talking about him as if he's dead.
Tim Cook said, supposedly, Steve's vision for Apple stretched far beyond his time with us. He intended Apple Park to be the home of innovation for generations to come. The workspaces and parklands are designed to inspire our team as well as benefit the environment. We've achieved one of the most energy efficient buildings in the world, and the campus will run entirely on renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's widow said.
Wait, she has a name.
Yes, Laureen Powell Jobs.
There we go.
Steve was exhilarated and inspired by the California landscape, by its light and expansiveness. It was his favorite setting for thought. Apple Park captures his spirit uncannily well.
See, this tells me he didn't spend much time in Orange County.
What do you mean?
You've seen LA.
Well, California. Okay.
These are the jokes here. Okay, back to the story. It's okay. Our listeners got the joke.
No, they didn't.
In my magic world, they did.
Yeah, in your magic world, you haven't slept in like a week. 3 days. It's been three days since you've had any sleep.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
He would have flourished, said Laureen Powell Jobs. as the people of Apple surely will, on this luminously designed campus. Johnny Ive supposedly said, Steve invested so much of his energy creating and supporting vital creative environments. We have approached the design, engineering, and making of our new campus with the same enthusiasm and design principles that characterize our products. Connecting extraordinarily advanced buildings with rolling parkland creates a wonderfully open environment for people to create, collaborate, and work together. We have been extremely fortunate to be able to work closely over many years with a remarkable architectural practice, foster, and partners.
All right. So I think that the architectural firm was named as part of a legal obligation, part of the contract. They had to be highlighted because that was just like out of the blue, I felt. But the bigger point is I think that what they were doing with these sugary sweet comments or quotes was trying to say that this campus is a big part of Steve Jobs' legacy, and it's a fulfillment of a big vision that he had for Apple. And they want people to know that even though Steve Jobs is gone, in a sense, he is very present in the design and vision for Apple Park. They should have called me for the quote.
They should have.
Yeah, I think, and hopefully I'm not being too arrogant, but I think the quote that I just came up with is better than all the quotes that Apple released.
Well, it's, you know, in general, I don't like fluff quotes. Like, listen, if you're working for a company, you're doing PR for your company's products, and you're sending those press releases to people like us, leave the fluff quotes out. The fluff quotes are useless. They're completely useless to me, and they make me not even want to read your press release. Just FYI. Apple's a little bit different, of course. Apple does, generally speaking, need to have Steve Jobs saying something, or Bill Schiller saying something, or Johnny Ive saying something, or Craig Federighi saying something about
sometimes even
the Tim products Cook. That they're announcing. What did I say? Steve Jobs?
Yeah. Now, if Steve Jobs offered an actual quote on a new Apple product, that's news right there.
That would be news, yeah. And I mean, you know, the thing about this building, the thing about this campus, the Apple Park, and by the way, that's P-A-R-K. It's not P-A-R-C. P-A-R-C.
Oh, I just laughed at your nerd joke.
You did. And just for some context there, the Xerox Park, P-A-R-C, it's actually P period, A period, R period, C period. Was the Palo Alto Research Center. Mm-hmm. And that's where the GUI was first implemented.
Yes, Xerox had it in-house, but couldn't see a practical use for it.
Yeah, well, they had the what was it, the Xerox Star? Is that right?
Yeah, but the just as a general use interface, they weren't seeing it as something that was going to be a serious business.
Right. And so Steve Jobs talked the folks at Xerox into paying him for the privilege of letting him go to Xerox to see what they were doing with this GUI, this graphical user interface, so that he could take away ideas from it. They paid him for that. Steve Jobs negotiated with Xerox the right for Xerox to invest in Apple in exchange for letting Steve come and see what Xerox was doing with the GUI.
Man, he was such a good salesman. He could probably sell ice cubes to penguins.
I mean, it's just absolutely stunning that people who don't know what they're talking about like to say that Apple stole the GUI from Xerox, but in reality, Apple had a license for the right to use the ideas that Steve and Jeff Raskins had seen at the Xerox PARC.
Right. So they were operating with Xerox's blessing.
But yes, and got Xerox to pay them for it.
Yeah, that's a good businessman right there.
It was. Now, mind you, Xerox ended up making a pile of money from that investment, because the payment was in the form of the permission to invest in Apple, mm-hmm. right? And before Apple's IPO, and Xerox ended up making some good money off of that little. The whole little thing. So I mean, everyone wins. We get the Mac, and then the rest of the world eventually gets Windows, and you know, yeah.
And you had a great setup for your Apple PARC PARC joke,
right? And but so that's the Apple PARC is of course not a PARC; it's a PARK. And PARC in this case can refer to the grounds, because it is a park in one definition of the word park. And it's also a park from the definition of the word that is talking about a campus.
Yes. And it's some of the details about the campus. 12,000 people will be working there. The theater holds 1,000 people, which is bigger than the theater that Apple currently uses for product announcements. It is one of the largest on-site solar arrays in the world, and it's generating.
And that's just the stuff that's on the roofs.
Yeah,
the roof of the building, and then the roof of the, I believe, the roof of the parking lot too.
Yes. So it's the combined solar panel arrays. 17 megawatts.
Wow.
And let's see what else is interesting.
Fuel cells on site.
Yes. No. The power for Apple PARC is completely self-provided.
Right.
And the glass walls that make up the outer structure, largest of its kind in the world. So anyhow. There's
all kinds of amazing things about this building. First of all, it looks amazing. It uses tolerances that are a tiny fraction of industry standard tolerances. I'm talking about the gaps where the floors meet the walls and those kinds of tolerances. They are a tiny fraction of what industry standards are. And Apple actually had to go through a few contractors because some of their early contractors said that LOL, this can't be done. And Apple fired them and found people that would do it. And I love. It is very Apple. And, you know, it's one of those things where Apple is something that Apple excels at, pushing the boundaries of what people think can't be done. It's, you know, there was this whole thing about paying attention to the circuitry that's behind the walls that no one will ever see, piping that no one will ever see. There's each floor is designed to allow airflow, I think, between the floors.
Yes.
So that there's a lot of natural cooling and then also a lot of natural heating.
Yes, the way that system is designed, it will maintain the comfortable temperature inside the building so that they need to run heat or cooling only about 3 months out of the year.
Yeah, which, you know, part of that is absolutely the climate here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But 3 months, I run here in my home. We run probably air conditioning through parts of, say, 3 to 4 months a year. Mm-hmm. And we run heating through parts of 3 to 4 months a year. That's a lot more than 3 months a year total, right? I mean, it's not, yes. it's, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that that's not all the magic of the building. Some of that is the magic of this, the climate here in the Bay Area.
Still, if you're designing to take that climate into account, that's pretty smart. It, you know, I haven't worked in an office building for a long time. I've never worked in an office building. For all the jobs that I've had, Brian, over the years, I've never worked in an office building. So I imagine that they're actually on some level kind of noisy with the ambient sound that comes from the heating or air conditioning just running all the time. So mm-hmm. I'm betting Apple's campus is actually quieter.
Yeah, I would imagine that Apple's campus will be quieter. Absolutely. And of course, that now that said, Apple's campus will also probably be quieter even when the heating and air conditioning is running. Because that's going to be one of the things that Apple is actually thought about. I mean, this all told, this building, everything we've seen about the building is amazing. Everything we know about the building is amazing. And it's one of the things that Steve worked very, very hard on in the years leading up to his death.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I wonder if Steve was the one who named it Apple Park.
He may very well have.
Yeah, he may well have. Yeah, we don't know. They haven't said Apple. You know, Tim hasn't said. No one at Apple has said where the name came from. So it's hard to know. But I can't wait for this place to open. Now, they're going to start moving people in April.
Yes.
And then WWDC is in San Jose in June, and I think that the building, that Apple Park is the biggest reason why they moved it back to San Jose.
I have a feeling that did play a big role. Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine that. I think that's probably the reason. I mean, having it be closer to Cupertino is certainly a benefit. Having it be, you know, so it's easier for engineers to get to and from, proximity to Apple probably matters, but I think that the moving, I mean, they could have moved it back to San Jose a long time ago if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So
they chose this year.
And I'm sure that they chose this year because
it wasn't random.
They wanted to bring visiting developers to Apple campus, Apple Park, or they want to, let them make it there themselves. Now, some parts of this building will be open to the public. There's an Apple store.
Yep. There's a cafe. There's a visitor center.
That's open to the public.
Uh-huh.
And the visitor center. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. I'm glad that they acknowledge that they have users and fans that really will be happy to have facilities like that on the campus.
Yeah, you know, one thing that's kind of annoying is that Apple replaced the company store with an Apple store at Infinite Loop. And that means that, you know, like that was the one place where you could buy, you know, Apple logo t-shirts.
Yeah, that's where that really hoodies. Awesome notebooks came from.
The notebooks. I'm so glad that I would buy a notebook every time I went in, whether or not I needed it, because now I've got extra ones. But, you know, pens, notebooks, luggage,
tags,
luggage tags, key rings, cups, coffee mugs, right? These, you could only buy Apple logo stuff at the company store because they were, of course, were theoretically intended for employees. But Apple let the general public into that store too, but they replaced that with an Apple store. And the last two times I went in, the only Apple logo stuff you could buy were t-shirts.
I'm wondering if they just weren't selling quantities of the other stuff, or weren't selling high enough quantities.
No, I suspect it's the opposite. I suspect that they just really didn't want people buying that stuff.
So they decided to go for t-shirts instead.
Yeah, because there is some stuff that's still available on an internal Apple, the Apple store for employees only.
So like if I want more of those awesome notepads that you've been able to stockpile, then what I need to do is get chummy with
my house.
An Apple employee, or show up at your place and just take some.
Yeah, I don't know what is. I keep meaning to ask exactly what's available. I just know that there's some stuff available, but I have no idea what it is. But you would think that things like the notebooks would still be available. You would think things like the pens and the coffee cups and things like that would still be available to employees. But it was always a bummer to me that they stopped being available at that place. And I'm wondering how this is going to if the Apple Park facility will in any way change this.
Well, there's going to be a visitor center. So maybe they'll offer some of these products through the visitor center.
Yeah, could be.
I will
find out, of course, and let you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we're going to be hanging out together at WWDC. So, Maybe we'll get lucky and be able to explore Apple Campus a little bit.
Kind of seems a little presumptuous. I mean, I know you're going to be there, and I know I'm going to be there, but I mean,
are you implying that I may not want to hang out with you? That I may snub you? Do you really think I would do that?
I was actually trying to imply the opposite of that, that it would be me who would.
Never occurred to me.
But well played.
Oh, thank you. Man.
God, you burned me with my own burn.
Oh, man. Not sleeping Jeff is on fire today.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. So anyway, yeah, Apple Park. Now, one more thing. There have been some people reacting negatively to that name. To me, that is a sign that Apple picked the right name.
You know, Apple could have named it the John Keat Park. And there would be people that would love it and people that would hate it. My point is, it doesn't matter what calls it. Someone's going to be pissed off.
That's true. I personally like the name Apple Park. And so I liked it as soon as I said it out loud. I liked it. Apple Park. It's like, yeah, that's a great name. That's just a great name. And I think that it's a great name.
I'm with you. I like the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is. It makes sense. To have a, it makes sense to have a campus like this in particular named Apple Park.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's a good name. It's a solid name. And it sounds great.
I like it. It's just like I like referring to the original campus as One Infinite Loop by its address.
Mm-hmm.
So... the original to me is the address, One Infinite Loop, and the other is Apple Park, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
By the way, One Infinite Loop is such a brilliant, brilliant address.
Yeah, and it was, it was so funny in the 90s. It was such a, like, to me, it was like these unintended corporate statements because Microsoft was at one Microsoft way.
Mm-hmm.
And like that contrast between One Microsoft Way and One Infinite Loop, that's like just sort of like emblematic of the two company cultures.
I agree. Yeah. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. All right. So Blue Apron, we should mention this Blue Apron thing because these guys, man, you keep your eye on them. They're going to go somewhere.
They're going to go right to your front door. That's where they're going to go.
Yeah. And they're going to bring food with them.
Which means they're so welcome to show up. Tell me, what did you make last night?
And I made the cheeseburgers that they're doing. Now, these aren't just cheeseburgers. They're cheeseburgers with the garlic and grilled onions, and they were delicious. It came with a salad too, so it was a salad on the side. Absolutely delicious, easy to make, delicious food, super easy to make, and so incredibly tasty. I will tell you this, whether or not they are sponsoring us, I love this company. I love what they're doing. I love the food that they bring me. I love the recipe card. What did Dave call it? How to. They're not recipe cards. They're like how to guides.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so simple to follow, and they've taught me some cooking techniques. They've taught me about you know, managing my workflow when I'm cooking. I love what Blue Apron does.
I think it's pretty awesome. I love that they go out hunting for the best quality ingredients that they can get, so that when you make a meal, you don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to taste okay. It's going to taste fantastic because it's made from the best stuff you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Last week I made a roasted pork, cumin roasted pork, even. It had an apple, walnut, and farro salad. I've never cooked with farro before.
But you have now.
I have now, and it was delicious. You know, one of the things that it had on it was almonds. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's this farro salad, apple, walnut, and farro salad. And then on top of that was the cumin roasted pork. And then I put almonds that, of course, came with the meal, roasted almonds on top. And it was just the perfect amount of crunch. It was so delicious.
See, it's just awesome. I love that you get to have these interesting meals that you wouldn't have thought to make before, but now that you've done it, you've got the how to, so you can do it again.
I've got the how to and the know how.
Yeah,
that, I mean, both of the, right, those two separate things. And they do, what Blue Apron does is they deliver you these meals for two or four people, and it's exactly what you need to cook the meal.
Yeah. So it's not like you end up with leftover stuff that you don't even put in the recipe. It's, you have exactly what you need to make it right. And yes, if you have something left over, it's not like IKEA where you're like, oh, I guess I just have extra parts. It means you better go back and look at your how-to.
Right. Yeah. And everything is fresh. Mm-hmm. Right, the produce is fresh, the meat fresh, it's just so good. And there's something that's even better.
I bet what's going to be even better is there's a deal, isn't there?
There is a deal. Oh, they're sponsoring us, and they're giving our readers and our listeners, in this case, listeners, three of their first meals on their first order for free. Three meals on your first order you'll get for free if you go to blueapron.com/ACM. And these meals are less than $10 per person as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get three of them for free off of your first order. I mean, it's...
And you don't pay shipping.
And you don't pay shipping. It comes right to your door. I mean, no shopping.
So how do people actually take advantage of this deal, Brian?
All they have to do, blueapron.com/ACM. That's it. blueapron.com/ACM. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/ACM. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook, Jeff.
Absolutely. Thank you for being our sponsor, Blue Apron.
Yes, we very much appreciate your sponsorship. We want our listeners to go and show them some of the same love they've been showing us.
Yes, please.
So there is the Apple Watch 3. You put out you published a thingy thing. Yeah, I guess I technically, Dave and I published it. You wrote, mostly pedantic, you wrote an interesting piece about Apple Watch 3 and the technically display.
The web server published it.
Depends on which version of publish you want to use, because yeah, David and I are the publishers.
Yes, but if we're just going to play pedantic, I'm just going to mess with you, because
yeah. But in this case, your pedantry would be wrong because my version of my usage of publishing there was correct.
Well, I might mostly be using it in a different sense.
Mostly,
anyhow, Apple Watch Series 3. Okay, so here's the deal. Based on what's happening with parts and orders and companies that are involved with Apple, Apple Watch Series 3 is going to be coming out this fall, which puts it about 12 months after Series 2 came out. So a shorter turnaround than we had from original Apple Watch to Series 2, because that was about 18 months. So, you know, there's that. One thing that a lot of people are looking at with this is the news or the report that the company that's been providing the glass surface for Series 2 is not going to be involved anymore. So that company is TPK Holdings. And what they've been doing, or what they make, are it's this kind of glass on glass sort of thing that that becomes the infrastructure for the touch surface on the watch. And that's being replaced with a glass film touch panel. And the reason being is because Apple needs to have that element, that piece, in higher quantities than TPK Holdings can provide. And so they're having to switch to something else so they can get it in the quantities they need. TPK Holdings, they also kind of pushed Apple down that path by deciding they're not going to make this component for Apple anymore. And that's because they were losing money. And the problem was, to create the quantities that Apple needed and to create meet the quality levels that Apple demanded, the two couldn't work together and have TPK Holdings make money. So they were producing a lot of waste product to get Apple what they needed, and
to get Apple what Apple wanted.
Yes, to get, and from Apple's perspective, it's the same thing. But yes, to get Apple what Apple wanted. So they decided that if they're going to lose money, they shouldn't be doing that anymore. So
no, they should, and they shouldn't. Yeah. That's absolutely the case. And I mean, other companies have found this to be the case too. There was that little dust up with Sapphire, the Sapphire GT GT Advanced Technologies, GTAT.
Uh-huh.
And they found that they couldn't make Sapphire in the quantities and at the quality that Apple was demanding, and that they were losing money every time they produced a boule of Sapphire.
Yeah.
And they ended up going out of business. Or actually, they declared bankruptcy and restructured, reformatted, or reorganized.
There is a big difference between TPK Holdings and GT Advanced, and it's that TPK Holdings was actually manufacturing stuff ahead of deals with Apple. Whereas,
wait a minute, so was GTAT?
They were
making Sapphire.
No, they weren't. They were making the furnaces so that other companies could make Sapphire.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. But those furnaces were successfully making Sapphire.
No, those furnaces were brand new. They designed bigger furnaces.
But they made furnaces that were making Sapphire for other companies.
Yes, they were. And what they thought was they could take their expertise in creating the furnaces and make the Sapphire. Is it Buell or Buell?
I think it's Buell.
Okay, we're going to go with that. So they thought they could make the larger Sapphire Buells that Apple wanted, but no one else had ever made. And it turns out that maybe they should have tried it first before telling Apple they could do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly. And so this other company was making product and is making product. But they just realized that we can't make this thing that we thought we could successfully make for Apple. And so we're just not going to make it.
Right. So what they're doing is moving their production over to 3D sensor touch panels for smartphones, where there is a much better market. So basically what's happening is they're dropping Apple as a customer in favor of Android phone makers.
But not just, okay. So there was this company called Lindsay. Mm-hmm. They make olives. Lindsay olives are delicious for canned olives. And one of the Domino's that I used to work at in the 80s sourced their olives. They bought Lindsay olives and they're delicious. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay olives made olives for Domino's, and then they sold olives elsewhere. But as Domino's grew, they got to a point where they could either sell olives to Domino's or sell olives to all of the other people. Mm-hmm. They chose to sell olives to all the other people because the addressable market was bigger. Like, in other words, there wasn't enough left over from their Domino's business to make it viable to sell to all of the other people.
Sure.
Right. So they decided that they were going to no longer supply Domino's because they could sell more olives by selling to everyone else. That's not what's happening with this other company. It's not like they're choosing Android because they can sell more stuff. They're choosing Android because the stuff they were making for Apple, they couldn't produce it efficiently enough to make any money at it. And right. Apple, of course, demands these, you know, really, really low costs for very high quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And Apple's terms are very favorable to Apple. And many, many, many companies find those terms acceptable because of the amount of business that they can do with Apple. But sometimes you run into a company that just can't do what it is that they need to do for the money that Apple wants to pay them.
Yep.
And that's the case here because the tolerances were so high that what they could produce, not enough of the stuff that they produced was acceptable by Apple. So they didn't get paid for it, and it was waste, and they couldn't make any money at it. And so they're it's not that they're choosing Android over Apple. It's they're getting out of the Apple business and going into the Android business.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Vaguely interesting. And but I guess the other part of this rumor is that we're going to have an Apple III this fall.
Yeah. And I do find it interesting that we went from this 18-month window to what will amount to a 12-month window.
And in the meanwhile, we are at, you know, 30, not quite 40 months for Mac Pro.
Yeah.
It was 18. Was it 18 months for MacBook Pro? And what are we're looking at 20, 25, 26 months for Mac Mini. We're looking at 16, 17 months for iMac.
Yeah.
Close to 18 months.
And what are we on iPad Pro?
iPad Pro. We'll actually be at 12 months next month for iPad Pro 9.7. If you consider the Air 2 to iPad Pro parentheses 9.7 close parentheses to be, you know,
that name is so sexy when you say it like that.
It's not sexy at all. I hate that.
I'm very well aware of that, which is why I pointed it out and called it sexy. Anyhow.
Anyway, so we'll actually be at 12 months for iPad Pro if it gets revamped in March. If the 12.9-inch iPad Pro is revved, that'll actually be at 18 months. Because wasn't that introduced last October, a year and a half ago?
That sounds about right. It feels like my iPad Pro 12.9-inch open close parentheses semicolon is brand new, and at the same time, like, I've had it forever.
Right.
You know, you just said something that is interesting, and one of my Twitter followers brought it up too, but in a different way. You said March for iPads. And that's because mm-hmm. there's the rumor that Apple's actually going to do something in March with product announcements.
Yeah.
What if Apple chose to push that out to April and have the announcement at the Steve Jobs Theater?
I don't think Apple's going to delay a product announcement for that.
All right.
That would be a terrible choice, to be honest. To delay rolling out a product by a month merely so they could have a different venue. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, if they want to use it to showcase the campus as well.
Well, so then, yeah, let's do the Mac Pro event in April at the Steve Jobs Theater.
Now, and keep in mind, what we're hearing is this rumor that there's a March event. It may be an event around that time. And if it is in April, that doesn't necessarily mean that Apple delayed it. It just means that's when it is.
Well, yeah, true enough. Right. And we don't. Yeah. So we don't actually know what Apple is planning. This is the, you know, this is the kind of rumor that has a lot of legs. Am I using that right? It's like it's leggy all the way up to here. And
I don't know if that's the right way to describe it anymore. But OK, we'll run with that.
There's nothing about that was correct. But we don't actually know what Apple is planning. March makes sense from the standpoint that that's when the SE, right? Wasn't the SE, was that introduced in February or March?
I don't even remember now.
iPhone SE release date.
Whatever happened to our interns? Shouldn't they be looking this stuff up for us?
Yeah, they should be, but they're still, I think they're still in the dungeon. I don't remember. That was in March. Okay. Same thing with the iPad Pro parentheses, 9.7 inch close parentheses. So, and we're supposedly going to get, iPad Pro 12.9 inch. We're going to get iPad Pro 9.7 inch. We're going to get a new iPad Pro 7.9 inch, which would be the Mac Mini form factor.
It would be the iPad Mini form factor.
What'd I say?
You said Mac Mini.
Did I?
Oh, you totally did.
Why would I do that?
Because you were testing to see if I will be just as much a pedant about products as you are. Or you don't know what you're talking about.
There we go. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. And we're also supposedly going to get a 10.5. I'm so iffy on that, man.
You
10.5 inch iPad Pro with the same size as the 9.7 inch, but with a larger screen because it's edge to edge.
Now, you should assume it's really happening because I am so not buying into this 10 inch, whatever. iPad Pro.
It's a good point. I'm going to put in my pre-order now that you stipulated it. But I can see Apple moving from 9.7 inches to 10.5 inches with an edge-to-edge display. I can see that. That I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is the idea that Apple would have both a 9.7 inch device and a 10.5 inch device. That doesn't make any. When they both are the same size, except for the you know, display resolution.
Yeah,
I'm
having a really hard time with this too. This must be really difficult for you to wrap your head around, because I'm saying I don't see this happening. You're saying you don't see this happening, and at the same time, if I'm saying I don't see this happening,
it's happening.
Right. So how are you resolving that in your head?
My assumption is that in this case, we're both wrong. I mean, there is a lot of weight behind this rumor, right? We've got three or four different sources saying this. We've got DigiTimes saying that Apple's going to do all four of these. We've got Ming-Chi Kuo, the analyst from who's he with? It's not Citi, is he? Analyst. Relatively famous at this point, but he's saying that Apple's going to do all four of these sizes, and now we have Mac Otakara saying that Apple's going to do this, and all three of those sources have anywhere between a good or better track record. So I think Apple's doing it. It just doesn't feel right. Not two, one or the other.
So I think we should call this Schrodinger's product, because it simultaneously can't exist and is going to exist, simply because I'm saying it's not going to happen and you're saying it's not going to happen.
Right. Now, how do we get from Apple Watch to this, by the way?
I really don't know. Seriously, I'm just along for the ride.
You're talking about the 18 month cycle.
Oh yeah.
So some of the and you asked about iPad. So iPad, the big iPad Pro would be at 18 months because Apple didn't rev it in October and or September. And the little iPad Pro would be at 12 months. That would be glorious. The iPad Mini, I think, when was 4 introduced in 2015? The iPad Mini 4?
I think it's more recent than that. I mean, I could be wrong.
Eyes only, there was some kind of...
Well, I'm starting to iPad type. Mini 4...
Yeah, September 9th, 2015. I was right. Thank you kindly. So that will also be at 18, almost 19 months. And then here, Apple Watch is at 14 months. And then iPhone SE, which is also supposed to be revved at this event, would also be at 12 months. So iPhone models are staying at 12 months. Some iPads are moving to 18 months and some are staying at 12 months and are moving back to 12 months. And Apple Watch is supposedly going to be 12 months. And meanwhile, Mac Pro, nothing.
Okay.
So iMac, nothing.
So my takeaway from this is that Apple doesn't have a standard product refresh cycle anymore. It's just stuff comes out when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck planning your upgrade cycle for your own products.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing this new Apple Watch one way or the other. It's not that I want Apple Watch to be slow. I'm happy for Apple Watch to have a 12-month product cycle. Mm-hmm. I want the other products to have a 12-month product cycle too, especially Macs and iPads and iPhones.
Anything else you want to toss in there?
The displays. Oh, that's right. They don't make those anymore.
Apple TV.
Airport device. Oh, that's right. They don't make that anymore. Apple TV. Yeah, right. Yeah, that one too.
Yeah.
Give us a new version every year, Apple. That's all we want.
Yeah.
Used to be 9 months, you know. Used to be 9 months. Macs used to be 9 months. 9 months. Every 9 months, they were refreshed.
Come on, Apple.
Do you remember that?
Shut up and take my money.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
9 months. It used to be everyone knows that Apple revs Max every 9 to 12 months. Really, it was 9 to 12 months, but it was usually 9 months.
Yeah, and it sure made it a lot easier to plan your own personal upgrade cycle.
Well, it also, you know what it did, Jeff? It made it easier to buy, not just planning. It made it more comfortable to buy because when I'm not going to buy something that's 9 months old. Right. I'm going to wait because sometime in the next 3 months, it's going to be reft. Right. That this is back in the old days. Mm-hmm. But now I'm being asked to pay brand new prices for products that were introduced 18, 24, 40 months ago. Brand new prices. Doesn't matter that there's new stuff out. It doesn't matter that the tech world has passed all that stuff by. I'm being asked to pay the same brand new prices for the stuff that's old. That's the reason why I want new stuff every year on these products. That's why.
It would make it a lot easier just for consumers. Yeah, I agree. Man, we went way off topic, or did we? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, that was fairly off topic. You know, we don't have a lot of time. We really have almost.
We're no like time. Pretty much out of time.
We are. But yeah,
let's save
the 3D camera on iPhone 8. Let's save that for tomorrow's TDO.
All right. Yeah, we can totally talk about it. So
Thursday's daily observations. We'll talk about the rumored 3D camera that's going to be in front of the iPhone 8.
Yes. So listeners, that gives you a little bit of a tease. If you want to hear more of Brian, he'll be on TDO, which is Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast, with me tomorrow morning.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm also looking forward to thanking Blue Apron for being our sponsor. In fact, Thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of anticipation there.
Oh, man.
BlueApron.com/ACM. Go get three of your meals free on your first order. Go do it.
Please.
Yeah.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at ACM@MacObserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer, whether or not they want to admit it. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the bass is by Boom, recorded just for DMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
Ooh, we'll see you online at the Mac Observer.